Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. You may be seated, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for Yahweh. Lord, it's been many weeks ago that we began a message on Yahweh, and we've been talking about Yahweh Rohi. I am your shepherd over these past several weeks, and we're just so grateful, Father, for who you are as Lord, as Yahweh, the great I am. I am your shepherd. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your righteousness. I am your sanctification. I am your banner. I am your peace. And I want to thank you for that today. Lord, as we open scripture again this morning, pointing, Lord, to the good shepherd and who the good shepherd is and what the good shepherd does and what the good shepherd provides. And I want to just say thank you, Lord, for Psalm 23, this great psalm that begins, Yahweh Rohi, I am your shepherd. And so, Lord, I come and ask that you would fill us. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it never, ever returns void, but it is powerful in our lives. And so I pray, Lord, for faith to embrace it. I pray for courage to obey it, the power of God in us to follow after it, that, Lord, that our lives might be changed. Because you say, Lord, you say this, let us not be just hearers of the word, but effectual doers. Lord, I praise you and thank you for this morning. I thank you for this hour, and I ask that you be glorified in the speaking of your word this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So, we've been in this great psalm, Psalm 23. You're new to us. It's been many weeks that we've been looking at these phrases. This morning, we're going to look at my cup overflows. My cup overflows. Last week, we spoke of being anointed by our head with oil. And the week before that, how he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And we had Lord's Supper that day, this great table of provision when Jesus offered his body and he offered his blood in our place to die. And that we were proclaiming his death. We were saying as we took that bread and we took that drink that we were saying, he is in my life and I will follow him. His life, his body bore my sin, it bore my grief, and his blood shed for me, forgave me of all my sins and comes to sanctify me in Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at the Holy Spirit coming, as if Scripture says, you've anointed my head with oil. Today it's my cup overflows. My cup overflows. In every way, in every place, I confess my cup overflows. In every form, in every fashion, my cup overflows. Cups overflowing is an idiom. It is a phrase from this wonderful passage. And it means that it's God's provision is more than enough. It's more. It means I'm blessed with overwhelmingly quantity of good things in my life. It's the essence of the psalm. And I want to tell you this. It is the crowning statement. It is the crowning statement other than I am your shepherd to everything that God does, everything that God has provided, everything that God speaks into our lives, that we can say in Christ Jesus, my cup overflows. Amen? Say that with me. My cup overflows. When we look at this passage of Scripture, it describes the character, the nature, and the provision of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And every phrase of this psalm can finish with this great statement, my cup overflows. Every statement, because it points to the countless men and women in Scripture, the countless promises, the countless testimonies of the abundance and the bounty of God in our life, and God's great kingdom principles in our lives. I want you to think about this. When we say, my cup overflows, when the psalmist says, my cup overflows, think Jesus coming to give abundant life. Envision God doing abundantly, exceedingly beyond our prayers, our desires, and the vision that he's given us for life. Think of God's glory. Think of the beautiful trees in Scripture that are full of fruit. Think of the new song in your mouth that's just dripping out of your life. It's just coming out out of your life this new song of praise of who God is and what God has accomplished and what he promises to accomplish. Think treasures out of your life. Think blessings. And even in the hard times, the cup overflows. In the midst of a fallen world with fallen nature such as ours, God has miraculously entered into time and space, has miraculously entered into our lives to touch and bless us over and over and over. And he's done it throughout history for 5,000 years for his people, for his sheep, for his children. My cup overflows. Does your cup overflow today? Because I want to say this right before we get to another psalm, Psalm 16, is that you may be going through a difficult time. You may be, there may be uncertainty in your life. There may be loss that you're still grieving over. There may be things that are going on that are just really, really hard. But I want to tell you this. If Jesus is your shepherd and you're in Jesus, your cup overflows. It overflows. And it's a matter of taking my life and looking at the perspective through eternity and not the temporal eyes of my life, to say that no matter what's happening, this great God is Lord, he is good, as we said last week, and my cup overflows. Say it with me. My cup overflows. Boy, say it with conviction. My cup overflows. Now, when we think about the cup, what is he talking about? Go to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. It is a psalm of direction. It is a psalm of God's abundance in this man's life, in David's life. And so Psalm 16 is a great passage to go to, because in Psalm chapter 16, verse 5, he says, "The Lord is the portion and my of inheritance, and he's my cup." So watch verse 1. "Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I said to the Lord, 'You're my Lord. I have no good besides you.' As for the saints who are in this earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight." Verse 4, "The sorrows of those who have bartered for another God, they'll be multiplied. And I will not pour out their drink offerings of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. The Lord is my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. And I'll bless the Lord who's counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. And I've set the Lord continually before me. And because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. And in your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forever." What's your cup? What is your cup? First of all, if you're in Jesus, the Lord is your cup. The Lord is your life. Notice the declaration. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. The Lord is my refuge. It's this confession, and it's very important. It's the confession of possession. It means that I am possessed by this God, and I possess him. He has me, and I have him. It is a confession of submission. It's where I say to him, "You're Lord, and over the circumstances of my life and the things that you've called me to, I will submit to your love, your plan, your providence in my life. I will submit to the circumstances of my life and will declare that you are Lord no matter what's going on in my life." I'm going to tell you this. When you confess Jesus as Lord in every form, in every fashion, I want to tell you this, supernatural things happen. He is Lord. It means that what's happened in my life, I can say, I can take my eyes off those circumstances, those temporal circumstances, and I can look to him and say, "You're Lord of this. You've got this. You are in control of this. You are Lord of this circumstance." And some of us even need to go back to the portions of our life that were hard and tough and that we've not quite gotten over with, and to say, "When back then, you were Lord, and I confess that you are Lord now as you were then. And somehow I missed it back then. I missed the declaration. I missed the confession. You are my Lord. You are my life. You are my cup." The cup also represents not only the Lord, but it also represents your individual life. It's God's providence in your life. It's God's plan in your life. It's God's gifts to you. It's Christ who your cup overflows. That's the cup. When he says my cup overflows, he's saying, listen, everything about me, everything about God in my life is overflowing right now. It is more than enough. It is more. It's abundance in my life. And I want to say this. I'll say it again. The minute and the moment that we run to that, I want to tell you, all things begin to change in powerful ways. You are Lord, and I confess this in Jesus' name. First question, what is your cup? The Lord is your cup. Look, your life is the cup, and the Lord is in you. The second question is what is in your cup? What is in our cup? And I want to say this, it's everything that God gives us to fulfill the believer's future. I like what he says here. He says, the line, verse 6, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. My heritage is beautiful to me. Now, when he talks about lines, he's talking about inheritance. And he's really talking literally about property lines. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, God drew lines and said, this is your portion. Judah, this is where you'll live. Okay? Naphtali, this is where you'll live. And they dispersed in the promised land. And it's kind of like this illusion, or this, yeah, alluding to the wonderful things that are in my life, my lines, my property lines, my lifelines, the things that God has done in my life, those property lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Some of you in this place have property. And therefore, if you have property, you have property lines. And the question is as you have this property, maybe you live on it, maybe you enjoy its fruit, whatever it is. Listen, you look at your property, and I know this. I know from many of you, you love your property. And you'll say, these are gifts from God, and the lines have fallen in pleasant places in this property. Can I get an amen for those who own property? You know that? Is that right? Is that right, Richard? Right? I mean, you know that, right? And every one of us. And it may just be a city block, but those are your lines. That's your cup. You can say, listen, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, but I want to say that it's not just talking about physical property lines. He's talking about lifelines and the way God has allowed things to fall in our life. And we can say this, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I can look at my life, I can look at the things that God's accomplished in my life and say, pleasant. Now, I can also look at my life and say, I can look back at the choices that I might have made, the life that I've lived before Christ, the things that I've done, the things that I've said that were not right, that were not good. And you know what? What happens is that I've had to suffer some of those consequences. But I want to tell you this, folks. In Christ, your cup overflows. And in Christ, the lines fall in pleasant places to us. Listen, pleasant places of peace, pleasant places of joy, pleasant places of provision, pleasant places of patience, pleasant places of the fruit of the Spirit, pleasant places of a new and fresh move of God in my life where I'm forever changed. That's pleasant places. These three ladies that were baptized, the day they were baptized, listen, the lines fell to them in pleasant places. The Lord became their cup. The Lord became their inheritance. And they can declare it today, and they can declare it to the day, on the day they die, the day we came to Christ, the day we die, to say the property lines of my life have fallen in pleasant places. And if you're miserable in your property lines, if you're miserable in your life, I'm going to tell you, God hadn't moved. God hadn't moved the property line. Maybe you're on somebody else's property today. Maybe you're looking at somebody else's cup. Maybe you're comparing yourself of what you have and what you don't have. And I want to tell you, that's the wrong thing to do. Because folks, if you're in Christ, your cup overflows. It's your cup. It's your Lord. It's your property lines. The next thing he says is listen, this heritage, my heritage is beautiful to me. My inheritance, the people in my life are beautiful to be. Now, I was thinking about this thing called the cup and what fills us. And I just want to say, pleasant lines, beautiful heritage. And that word heritage means inheritance. It means both literally and figuratively. It's your heritage. And I think about growing up under my mom and my dad, and I can say my mom and dad gave me a beautiful heritage in my life. I can look at my wife, John Ann, and name her and say, beautiful heritage. I can say to my son, Jeremy, and my girls, Lauren and Ashlyn, and their spouses, Ashley, Brody, and Mike, my grandsons, Tatum, Baylor, Liam, Autry, my granddaughters, Cohen and Finley, Joe, and the grandson coming, amen. I can look at my brother, my sister, I can look at John Ann's parents who are here today and family, and I can say, my cup overflows. I can look at my past and see the people of my spiritual life, my childhood pastor, George Fazell, Ralph Neighbor, who I first worked under, my youth pastor, Mike Walker, Jimmy Doral, a youth pastor I worked under, Cottonwood family. I can think of Fanny. I can think of Scott and Shelley and Jeanette and Chance and Craig and Wayne and Marilee, our staff who loves well, who loves me well. And I say, my cup overflows. My cup overflows. I can look at you here today and see those in this midst and those who are not here today. I think of elders and leadership, past and present. I think of and I'll just name their first names: Mike, Chief, Arlo, Dale, Bob, Les, Wayne, Rod, Daniel, Chuck, Ricky, Dale, James, Chief. I've already mentioned Chief. And their wives and their families. And I can look back and I can say, in every form, in every fashion, my cup overflows as a pastor. I want to tell you this. If you're new to us, I've said it 100 times since we did elders 16 years ago. There's no other safer place that I feel than in an elders meeting at Cottonwood Baptist. Listen, my cup overflows. Who are the people of your life? Who are the people that have spoken into you? I think about our congregation, a people that want to move on with God. I think about our missionaries overseas. I think about those of you who teach week after week on the square and volunteer and teach in the house, working with our youth, working in adult Sunday school. All those folks, all of you who are saying yes to God. I want to tell you, as a pastor, my cup overflows. My heritage is beautiful to me. From the longest members who are in this place, Fanny and Jim Wells and Stephen, to our newest today, my cup overflows. And I just want to stop here and I want to introduce all the new ones today, right now, right here. I didn't know when I was going to do this, but I want to do it right now. Because our heritage is beautiful to us. And those of you that have gone through the process and are about to go to the process, I'm going to just name you in alphabetical order, and I want you to come up, okay? I want our people to see this new heritage, this new piece of heritage, as folks have come to be a part of our body in an official manner. And I'm just so grateful for this, so wonderfully grateful. Rachel Caballero, where are you? Come on up. All right, yeah. Maria, you're right next to her. This is Maria Della Serta. Okay, y'all come on up. All right, yeah. All right. The Jones, did the Jones make it today? Jeremy and Ginger? Okay. Don and Phyllis Gilbert, come on up. Brittany Hansen, come on up. Yeah, come on up, Andrew, you can come on up too. Did the Ketchums make it? They weren't sure they were going to make it. Clay and Danae Nelson, come on up. Their son Cooper is in the nursery. Did Harley Nichols, did she make it? You going to come on up? Come on, yeah. Will and Leah Parker, come on up. Teresa Pierce, come on up here. Rebecca Roberts, did you make it? She didn't make it today. Suzanne, come on up. Trinkles, did they make it? You just made it? Well, you come on. You can come on without your dad. Well, great. This is Kobe. Great. And then Betty Vanderpool. Are you in here? Yeah. Come on up. Yeah. you want to come up and stand with Teresa, yes, you can, Missy. Yes, right. If you rejoice with me in them coming, oh, you made it. Good. Glad you're here. I didn't see you. I'm looking all over it. Oh, you did dress like me. Yeah, good job. If you rejoice with me in these coming today, would you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Clap offering the Lord. I just want you to know how grateful I am that you're here today. I'm grateful for your lives. I'm grateful for your friendship. I know that I know some of you a little more than I know others, but most of us have spent a little time together, and I'm just looking forward to the days ahead. Some of you have been here a while, and we're just grateful that today you've said yes, that we want to officially join. You know, sometimes through my belief and my just, sometimes I've maybe taking church membership a little too easy. But you know what? I think there's just something about saying, we love this church, we're a part of it, and we've loved it from the time we've come, and we just want to say, we're all in. Is that true for every one of us? We're all in. To have your yes on the altar, a hunger for God, a hunger to move on with God, and to be conformed into His image. And is that true today? You can just nod your head, yes. Yeah, I know that's true. And you know, I just tell you, you are an answer to my prayers and many people who have prayed over this property. I think about a Heritage. I think about a Mary Simpson and a Jean Malone that would come here and pray for hours at a time on this property, that God would send hungry people, that God would send hungry people to move on with them. I think about how Scott and Brad and Clay Cooper and a couple of other guys would come here on a Saturday morning and just bathe this place in prayer. I think about the night, many nights when we lived in the square, of just walking the property lines and asking God to bring folks from the north, south, east, and west who are hungry for God, who want to move on with God, some who are hurting and struggling that would find the health of the Lord Jesus Christ, that would find healing, that would find blessing. And you're an answer to those prayers. And I just thank God for you, that you're hungry to move on with Him. And I stand here as your pastor to say, I want to stand with you to help you, to be a part of helping one another, to get you to the places that you know God wants you to be, the places that God, that you want to be in Christ. And we stand here not to say that we have all the answers. We just want to be a part. I want to be a part. Your leadership wants to be a part. Your Sunday school teachers, home fellowship leaders want to be a part of helping one another get to the places that God wants us to be. And I'm just really, really grateful. In a few minutes, after I pray for you guys and go back to your seats, during the offering, we're going to ask you to get up and go into the foyer where we're having a fellowship in your honor to welcome you on this first Sunday of October. And we're just really grateful for you. Amen. 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 Yeah. Our cup overflows. And I'm grateful for this day. Let me pray for you. Father, I want to thank you so much for these that stand before us today. I want to thank you in Jesus' name for them coming and identifying with this body called Cottonwood, who say we are all in. We're in. We're in the kingdom of God, and we want to walk with this body through this season of our lives. And I just want to thank you for them. I want to thank you for those in this line that Lord, I've gotten to know really well, and I want to thank you for them. I want to thank you for those that I've not gotten to know really well. But Lord, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for all these in this that are in between. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for many that stand here have just been so faithful. Faithful to come, faithful to attend, to be on Wednesday nights, Father, to youth ministries, to already serving in so many ways. And I just want to thank you for that. And we stand with them today. And we ask, and we thank you for them. And we say, as for the saints that are in this earth, they are the majestic ones in whom we delight. Our heritage, it's beautiful to us. And we praise you and bless you. In Jesus' name for them. And all God said, amen and amen. All right. Y'all go back to your seats, and I'll call you up here in a little bit later after I finish this message. A beautiful heritage, an overflow of life. to get to the places in our life that we just understand that God is at work. And he's at work even in the darkest of times, even in the hardest of times, he's there. What is this heritage? What is it that fills my cup? It's the pleasant lines of my life. It is the beautiful heritage of my life. But I want to take a few more minutes and just talk to you about a few other things that are on my mind about this. When you think of God's presence and you think of the Lord and you think of his people and that we have this life that God has given to us to pursue, it's the game changer. I know some of you have come from broken families. I know that some of us have had broken lives. But I want to tell you this. When Jesus becomes your shepherd, you are no longer defined by that negative past of your life. You are beginning to be defined by this new creature in Christ, where all things pass away and all things become new right now. And that's what we celebrate. We celebrate who God is right now, right here. And to allow those things of life, to allow everything else to flow out of that. To love him first, to seek him first, and to love him most. To love the people in our lives. And I just want to say, I thank God for you today. I thank God for you today. Let me tell you a third thing that I think about when I think about my cup overflows. Turn to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8. Such a great passage of scripture about the Christian life and how we overcome. You know, this passage has a great passage in it, Romans 8. It's the great refrigerator verse, Romans 8:28, right? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, right? And so we take great, as believers, we take great confidence in that word. But I want to tell you, read the whole passage in context. Read it all of what it says about what Jesus comes to do and what's the good he's fulfilling in our lives. Because he says in verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he'd be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Now watch this. Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Do you understand what he's saying here? He's saying, listen, when you go through tribulation, when you're being under stress and you're distressed or you're under persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, what does he say? He says, listen, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. We overwhelmingly conquer. See, I don't say ignore the stress. I don't say ignore the hard time. I don't say go put your head in the sand or go hide somewhere. You know me, I don't say that. And you've heard me say, listen, in the world we have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. My cup overflows. My cup can overflow in the tribulation. My cup can overflow in the distress, in the loss. I've seen it over and over and over for those who have had major loss. I've seen some of you have major loss, but yet, in respect to the promise of God and to who he is, you'll say, my cup overflows. Because we overwhelmingly conquer in the name of Jesus. In all these things, distress, persecution, tribulation, everything that seems to come down upon us when the enemy is trying to crush us, the thief is coming to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus is coming to give abundant life. It's abundant. My cup overflows. Say it with me. My cup overflows. Say it with me like you believe it. My cup overflows. For in Jesus, it does. For in Jesus it does. Look what he says in verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, watch, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me. The love of God covers a multitude of sins. And nothing can separate us from that love. That's why you ask the question, well, how do I find that? Listen, God's got to lead you. I can lead you to water, but you got to drink. I can lead you to the principles, but you've got to apply them. You've got to place your faith in the promises of God right now, right here. It's up to you and the Spirit of God working in your life. You can have people come alongside, and you can even say, I've got accountability partners. But accountability partners mean nothing unless you are accountable to God to do what God has asked you to do. My cup overflows. My cup overflows. Say it with me again. My cup overflows. Think about the things that are going on in your life that are positive, that are blessings, that are symbols of God's love and affection. It's an overwhelming, we overwhelmingly conquer in the name of Jesus. So that the psalmist would say in 8 and 9, he would say, I will not be shaken, my flesh shall dwell securely, and my flesh will not undergo decay. He could say that in Psalm 16. Do you understand, my friends, my folks, listen, that it's a matter of what I'm going to put before me and believe. Am I going to look at the circumstances of my life that have been hard, tough, where in some places things have been taken away, and say, that defines me, and therefore I'll walk in grief, I'll walk in anger, I'll walk in bitterness, I'll walk in those things, or will I say, this is who Jesus is, and this is who I am in Jesus Christ, and I will no longer be defined by that which is negative. Oh, I'll be defined by that which is positive, but not negative anymore. And the things that are negative, I will allow God to do his work in it, so that what the enemy meant for evil, God makes for good. My cup overflows. My cup overflows. So I think about my cup and what's in my cup. I think it's the Lord. It's God, the God in my life. It's people in my life. It is an overwhelming victory that Christ has promised. Here's a fourth thing. It's the Holy Spirit that's living in me. The Holy Spirit is in my cup, in my life. Turn to John chapter 7, if you would. John chapter 7. This great, great passage of Scripture that I'm not going to really spend a whole lot of time on, but I'm going to leave it to your imagination. I'm going to leave it to your dreaming. I'm going to leave it to you going from this place and taking this passage of Scripture and saying, what does this look like for me? What does this look like in my life? I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that's in your life that we talked about last week that teaches you about all things, will take this passage. And it'll come to life to you. And I just want you to know that this is what who the Holy Spirit is in our life. Look at verse 37. He says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom they believed were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. My Bible says that when you believed, the Spirit of God came into your life, in my life, and that rivers of living water are to flow out of us. Not drops, not little bitty leaks. I'm talking about rivers of living water, where the Spirit of God comes into your life and you can't contain it because they're rivers of living water that comes out of your life to see God work, to see God move. The things that come out of your life now are blessings to people, not curses. They are edifying, not tearing down. They are the things that come out of your life that are Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-whatever, so that you might have impact in this life. I want to ask you, church, are rivers of living water flowing out of your life today? Are they flowing out of your marriage? They're flowing out of your family. Listen, the Spirit of God comes into your life to flow, to move, to teach you so that you know how to live. And when you're living that right life, I want to tell you, you can't help but speak the rivers of living water. Listen to me. Please listen. My cup overflows with rivers of living water. Do you believe it, church? Will you believe it? Will you move in it? Will you agree with it? Will you agree with it when you wake up in the morning and you don't want to go to work? Will you believe that and all of a sudden you'll want to go to work because you got rivers of living water coming out of you? You've got rivers of living water to come out of you to affect and to impact that person at work, that mother who's struggling with that child, that husband that is struggling in their separation, to be able to flow in their lives to give them the Spirit of God, as God has given you the Spirit of God. Listen, it's an abundance that God comes, which is the fourth and final point when I think about my cup overflows. My cup overflows, what does that look like? I just want to call it a seed bank. A seed bank, yeah, you heard me right. A seed bank for abundant fruit and increasing ministry. Now notice the seed bank, if you would, okay? Matthew 13:23 on the screen. And the one whom seed was sown in the good soil, that is the man who hears the word, understands it, and who deeds bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And when I think about this whole thought of fruit, of fruit that comes out of our lives, it starts with the seed. And I want to tell you this, that seed will produce direction, gladness, security, eternal life, fullness of joy, pleasures forever, the Holy Spirit moving in your life, the Word that's in you, the seed of God in you, the call, the gifts, the seed of the Spirit and His fruitfulness in your life. Now listen, the Bible says that He comes along and He sows the seed of the Word in your life. And you're to have this abundant or this fruitful ground in your life, fertile soil. That says, God, I want everything that you want. I want everything. So you open the Word of God in the morning in a devotion, and you just don't read it flippantly because it's something to check. No, you're living on it that morning. And God's planting the seed in your life. And you may not see the fruit for a couple of weeks. But when I receive the seed, the Bible says that it'll come forth and it'll produce an abundant fruit. Matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 5, you hear this a lot. You'll always hear it a lot here, that the fruit of the Spirit that'll come out of your life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want to tell you, if I'm looking at that seed that God's planted in my life, the seed of the Word, and it comes to fruit, a hundredfold. My cup overflows. My seed bag overflows. And this fruit that comes off out of my life, it's this great love. It's this great joy. It's this peace. It's me being patient in the middle of something that's really hard. It's the kindness of God that's coming out of my life and out of my mouth. It's the gentleness. It's the self-control. I will tell you, my cup overflows. It overflows with the Lord. It overflows with people in my life. It overflows with an overwhelming victory. Listen, it overflows with this abundant fruit. That's what comes out of our lives, folks. And the question I ask in this moment, is that happening for you? Is it happening for me? I think about this increasing ministry resources, 2 Corinthians 9:10. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. A seed bank that produces abundant fruit, that gives you an increasing ministry resources to be able to share life with people and to walk in your giftedness. My cup overflows. What is our cup? It is our life. What's in our cup? The Lord, people. What's in our cup? Listen, it's overcoming victory. It's the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water, and it's fruit. It's a seed bank of abundant fruit for increasing ministry. But let me ask you a question. When does your cup overflow? When does it overflow? right now, right here. It's an attitude. It's a thought process. It's a belief in the principles of seeding seed and seeing fruit come forth of it with an expectation. Now, I want to close with this. I want you to go to Acts chapter 16, okay? Acts chapter 16. I want to tell you that on a night that Paul and Silas were imprisoned and beaten, thrown in a dungeon, and their cup overflowed. And I got to ask the question, that just doesn't make sense to me, but how did that happen? How did their cup overflow after hard circumstances? And I think there's a number of reasons, but the number one reason that I believe is because everything they're doing is for the glory of God. Everything I do is for the glory of God. Sharing faith for the glory of God. Walking out of my giftedness for the glory of God. Going to my job in the morning for the glory of God. Parenting my children for the glory of God. Leading my children for the glory of God. Fellowshipping with people for the glory of God. Everything's for the glory of God. Everything's for Him, not for me. That's who God is, and that's who I am. That's who we are. Everything for the glory of God. So that whatever happens, they find life in whatever happens. They find overflowing fruit in whatever happens. Now, I want to tell you this. Paul one day is trying to get into different regions of the world, and the Holy Spirit keeps saying, no, you don't go there. No, you can't go there. So he said, the door's shut. And then we had this vision of this man who kept saying, come over and help us in Macedonia. And so they thought and they believed that they were supposed to go to Macedonia, that God opened a door for them. And the Bible says as they started moving through, that people started coming to Christ. But then through a series of circumstances, in verse 22, the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'd get pretty mad at God. God, you told me to come over and help. We're seeing success. We're seeing fruit. We're seeing increase. And all of a sudden, we're in this deep dungeon, having been beaten for our faith. But that doesn't happen with them. Why? Because they're doing it for the glory of God, not the glory of their flesh, not the glory of their ministry, not the glory of the church, not the glory of Cottonwood, not the glory of anything but God. And so about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison house was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword, was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we're all here." And he called for lights, rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have what you have? I have beaten you almost to death. I have put you in the deepest dungeon. I've put you in the place where sewer runs of this prison. I have placed you in with wounds on you that were hard and horrible. And yet, what do you do at midnight? You're praising this great God. What must I do to have a cup like yours that overflows in the midst of horrible circumstances? What must I do to be saved?" Amen. Isn't that what we want? Yes. Because we're in Christ. And the Bible says it's His seed that abides in us. And we can't help but want this kind of lifestyle. And if you can't help but want to have this kind of lifestyle, I want to suggest to you that you examine your life to make sure that the Son of God is truly living in your life. because his seed abides in us. That gives us this kind of fruit, this kind of life. And the Bible says that in that very night, that jailer was converted and his whole household came to Christ. And they were baptized that night. Why? Because their cup overflowed. If your cup, if you're in Jesus and your cup is not overflowing, it's not Jesus' fault. It's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's not your preacher's fault, and it's not your mama's fault or your daddy's fault. It's nobody's fault but yours. Because in Jesus, my cup overflows. Why? Because he is the good shepherd that does good things for his sheep. My cup overflows. What I want you to do is stand with me right now. I want you to stand. When I opened this passage of Scripture, I said something like this. That every phrase of this Psalm 23 could be followed by my cup overflows. The crowning principle of this psalm. So I'm going to make a statement. And after that statement, I want you to speak out with conviction, my cup overflows. And I'm going to do two lines for practice. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to do the whole thing together. Okay? So we're going to practice for a moment, like we're going to have choir practice, right? Or responsive reading practice. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Oh, he did that good. Okay. Let's start it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. My cup overflows, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and forever. My cup overflows. Amen. Let me pray for y'all. Lord, I thank you for this cup. The cup of the Lord, the cup of our lives. I thank you for what's in that cup today. I thank you that the Lord's in our cup. The people of our lives are in this cup. I want to thank you for the Spirit of God where rivers of living water flow. I thank you for the overwhelming victory that's ours is in this cup. I want to thank you today, Lord. I want to thank you and bless you and praise you that this seed bank for abundant fruit and increasing ministry is in our lives. I want to thank you that our cup overflows always. That we will be a people that will always confess, you're Lord, you're enough, my cup overflows. In the midst of a beating, in the midst of being put in stocks, in the midst of being in a prison cell, in the midst of being cursed at, in the midst of the hurt and the struggle, we will say, my cup overflows. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you be seated? Ushers, would you come forward?